I will be reading from Colossians 1, 28 through 30 and 2, 1 through 3. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present ourselves fully mature in Christ. To this end, I earnestly contend with all energy so powerfully Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and those at that place, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches and complete understandings, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Bill, do you need this? Not now? Okay, all right. Growing up, I didn't understand this concept of pain coming from growing, that your body grows at different stages. And so I remember coming into my mom's bedroom one time. My parents were there, and I just came in. Mom, I have a headache in my leg. I had no concept of what growing pains was. And I knew what a headache was. I'd understood that. I'd been old enough to realize what a headache was. But I had no idea that you could get a headache in your leg, because it felt like the same thing. And if any of you remember growing pains, and some of you may have kids that are going through that, it hurts. Your body is, at least your mind is not prepared for it, and you think your body is going to just do its thing, and apparently it does, just at different stages. Like when you have the growing pains in your legs, your leg is not ready for what the rest of the body is prepared for. And so it's stretching, it's hurting. And so I had a headache in my leg. I had this no concept of growing pains, but we need to grow. For us to reach the adult height, whatever that is for you, for us to reach our adult height, we have to grow. We cannot stay as a child. And so in our physical beings, we grow and we can hurt. Sometimes we like to hurt on purpose. Some of us like to go to this thing called the gym. And most of us will go to a gym at least once. I've started naming my bathroom gym, so I can say I go regularly. The thing is, going to the gym, I come out thinking, oh, I'm going to feel good. And I'm like, ow. And all I'm doing is looking at the weights. But the thing is, we are made to grow. We are made to stretch ourselves. Physically, unfortunately, sometimes emotionally, we stretch ourselves. And to the point sometimes we just wonder, I don't know if I'm going to break going through whatever we're going through. The thing is, we're often too comfortable. And that's when the stretching and the pain really hurts. We like to have these seats. These are much better than the pews we used to have. And it's comfortable. And we like to be comfortable. It's very nice to sit on a cushion instead of whatever it was we had. Is it strange? I don't remember the specifics of what we sat on. It's been so long now. It's crazy. But we like comfort. We have our couches at home that we can recline and put our feet up and watch the television. We like the comfortable beds, especially those of you who have the electric ones that make you sit up and do so you can get a good night's sleep, because we want to be comfortable. The problem is, when we're comfortable, we forget about pain, which isn't a bad thing sometimes. But when we're comfortable and when we're not growing, We're not changing. We're stagnant. I'm going to read a little bit from the surrounding text of what Preston read for us this morning. So we're going to pull that up. It starts in verse 24 of chapter 1, Colossians. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the world of God in its fullness. And the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And skipping down to chapter 2. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent, though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Moving my notes around, I'm losing myself. You're fine with all that. So Paul is writing about this mystery. Paul is writing about something that has never been heard before. The church in Colossae had members who thought they were a part of this special select group. They were more important than the other Christians because they knew something in this secret society where they had a certain knowledge that hadn't been revealed to others. In this letter, Paul condemns, get my words right, the false teachings that have been circulating. He insists that angel worship, which is this secret society, the secret knowledge and asceticism, have no place in Christian belief. And he repeats his teaching that Gentile believers, most of you and I, do not need to adopt Jewish religious laws or be circumcised. He does go on to talk about this mystery of God, this secret that has been revealed, a secret that Moses, Abraham, and the prophets did not know. And this mystery has been revealed through Christ. It has been revealed here in verse 27. It says, the mystery is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We reach our full potential with Christ in the center of our lives. Christ in you. Not Christ and you, not Christ and me, but Christ in me. Christ in you. Christ in this congregation. He is a part of, not separate with. We're not a team, we are one. And that is what we're needing to recognize here. This is the mystery, that Christ is in us. The hope of glory. Will you pray with me? Father God, we ask that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit right now. We ask that you fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Son. Fill us with the joy of this mystery, knowing that hope is found in your glory. Father, I just ask that you speak through me. I ask that the words that come out of my mouth will be from you. I ask, Father, that what is heard will be from you. Father, I just ask that you show us your presence today. I ask, Father, that you open our hearts to new things, even if it means we may be stretched a little bit and a little uncomfortable. Father, help us accept when we're not always right, and help us know what to do when we are wrong. Give us your patience, As hard as that prayer request may be, help us have your patience and your understanding and your love. Father, today stretch us. Make us into something new. Help us become something that we've never allowed you to do before in our lives. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul is writing to a church, the church in Colossae, that he's never visited. As he did his missionary journeys before he was arrested and put into prison in Rome, he came to some of the cities nearby, but he never actually visited Colossae. And so he's writing here, this letter seems to have gone to not just the Colossian church, but also to Laodicea and perhaps a few others in the surrounding areas. And he's writing to a church that has perhaps heard of him, and one or two may have met him, but as a whole, because he's not been there, the church does not know him. A couple weeks ago, I was worshiping in Bristol, England, my home family church, and it was so neat to get to be there. By the way, the leaders send their greetings as I think about that, so you've been greeted by the church in Bristol. It was strange, though. I walked in, and I saw a few familiar faces, but there were a lot of people that I did not know, and who did not know me. And that's, amen, yes, that's a great thing. But it was strange. I've been a member of that church since I was tiny, right? My parents moved to Bristol 3 months before I was born, and so I'd always been a part of that church. And over the years, it's just grown and grown. It's had its ups and downs, like most churches do. But I walked in, and probably 50% of the people there did not know me. And so I was asked to do the Lord's Supper there, and I was more than happy to do that. And there were so many people. I was looking at them like I'm looking at you. I don't know who half of you are. This is awesome. But whereas I grew up there, Paul didn't have a good connection with the church in Colossae. I knew about 50% of the church. Paul didn't even know that. And so in this text, Paul is trying to he's trying to get his foot in the door a little bit. Again, some of them may have heard some of his earlier stuff, persecuting the church, and so may not have wanted to listen to what he had to say. But others would have seen what he'd been doing on his missionary journeys and heard the stories from the church in Laodicea, Ephesus, and the other missionary journey churches. And so he's trying to establish himself. The church in Colossae didn't really have a place for his authority. So he's writing, but on what grounds? And so he says things like, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you. Paul is establishing himself as a worker for the Lord. He is laboring for the kingdom of God. He's not just writing, saying, oh, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, oh, I've heard about this, you better watch out. He's given himself a foundation that the church will go and listen to him. He's realizing that the work that he's doing is not just for this church, but it's for generations to come. Paul is working hard for the kingdom despite being in chains. He is laboring to the best of his knowledge and what God has given, with what God has given him. In the same way that we grow physically and spiritually, it can also hurt. I don't think Paul had a single day when he was in chains going, well, today's just a good day, I'm going to stay in my chains, and I'm going to tell, I'll pick this church and tell them what's wrong. I don't think that was his attitude. He hurt for the church. He wished he could be there, but he knew God had a greater plan. Sometimes we can be so happy feeding ourselves spiritual milk that we forget to realize there's an adult table. We're stuck on the kiddie table. We're so comfortable knowing what we know that we forget to really dig into Scripture and challenge ourselves, because we know what we know, right? And if I know it, I've got to be right. But if everybody thinks that they're right, then who's wrong? When we have differing of opinions, somebody has to be wrong. If I say there is a God and somebody says there is not, one of us has to be wrong. And there are topics that we don't like to talk about in church. We don't like to talk about, perhaps, I've got a list here so I wouldn't forget. We don't like to necessarily talk about instrumental worship. We don't like to necessarily talk about certain women's roles. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Alcohol use, or any addiction for that matter. We don't like to talk about sexual orientation. And many, many, many other things. And we don't like to talk about that because we might upset somebody. And we're in a culture where, well, we don't really want to hurt anybody's feelings, do we? But Scripture is very clear. And if we're not reading Scripture and knowing what it says, we're just going to listen to what everybody else thinks. And the thing is, even tradition, I'm stretching myself, and there are things that I grew up with that... I grew up in a church where head covering was a thing. Okay, if you came in without a scarf, we would provide you one. And I grew from that. Women's roles and all these other things that I've mentioned. If we're not studying what Scripture actually says, how can we give a valid argument when somebody counters us? You never know. As hard as this is, sometimes we may actually be wrong. So spiritually, we like to be comfortable. There are people that, and I've worshipped at places like this, Churches of Christ, we are the only ones going to heaven because we have Church of Christ on our doorframe. And perhaps you may feel that way. Maybe you don't. Again, this is another topic for another debate, if you wish. But we can be so comfortable in our thoughts that we refused to grow and stretch ourselves. The work of the church isn't just from the pulpit. It's not just Alan and I in our offices figuring out what the curriculum is going to be. It's not even just on the elders and deacons. Ministry is you. If you're not involved in something, then how are you stretching and growing your faith? Sorry if this is a little blunt, but you have to be involved to grow. I spoke with Howard McNair earlier in the week, and he said that he was encouraged, strongly encouraged, to teach Bible class. It wasn't something that he really wanted to do, but he did it because he was told he needed to do it. He said, "I have never grown as much preparing for my lessons as I have just sitting in class." So if you're not involved in, it was mentioned in the announcements, if you're not involved in teaching the children's classes, the Praise Kids Stage 2, any of those classes, if you're not involved in... women's Bible study, or whatever you want, get involved. Stretch yourself, grow, do something different. Because if you're comfortable with all that you're doing right now, you're not stretching yourself, and you're not growing. This sermon was titled Labor Pains, It's because the labor for the work of God, God's work, God's labor, will hurt. People will say things to you that hurt your feelings. There are Christians that have more than their feelings hurt around the world because they worship God. Labor for the Lord hurts. Sitting here where we're comfortable is one thing. But Paul is in chains, and he is telling the Colossae church that they need to be working. Look at what I am doing from in prison, from my chains. Look at what I am doing. I'm doing this. What was his words? I loved how he worded it. My goal, this is chapter 2, verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Everything we do, every time we stretch, every time we pull a muscle, every time we have these growing pains spiritually, we must be doing something right. Because even if we're stretching and we're realizing, oh, this isn't what Scripture is telling us, at least we've studied and we know that that is not right. What we've been doing is. So labor pains come to those who are hurting for the people that you are assisting to seek Jesus. It is not enough for us, for our community, to have this number of people who just know of Jesus. Our job is to make this community know Jesus. It is our responsibility as a congregation, as a community, to draw people closer to God. To each other, to his word, and grow in number. We are all called to grow. And so it goes back to knowing your scripture. It goes back to knowing what the scripture actually tells us. And so I encourage you, if you're not going to teach Bible class, at least come. If you're not active in a ministry, I encourage you to look. I ask you to find something that your talents, your skills, your time can fit. And so how do we grow? How do we look for these things? How do we become the person that God wants us to be? It all lies in that one verse again. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. To grow, we must accept Christ in us. In us as individuals, in us as a congregation. We're not to be working, as I said, like a partnership with Christ. It's not Jesus and I. It's Jesus in me. And so the invitation is a simple one this morning. I invite you all to know Christ, to allow Christ in your heart, to accept Christ into your life, even if that means dunking yourself or being dunked in the waters. Letting Christ into your life, letting Christ be a part of your life, putting him on in baptism. For the hope of glory. And so I invite you to grow in study and in labor of the kingdom of God. The work of the church isn't just for Alan and I to do, or the elders and deacons. The work of the church involves the church. It requires you to grow. It requires you to stretch and be a little uncomfortable. And maybe if you think I'm talking at you, maybe I am. And that's okay. And so I invite you to let Christ work in you. Let's stand and sing.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just.